Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Quarterback matrix updating time with a trade. So we'll cover the, we'll do an update on the trade, on the starter, quarterback starter matrix. And we will, we'll highlight some of the takeaways from the Carson Wentz deal. Because I think there's some moving pieces that are going to be pretty interesting. So here we go. Carson Wentz is now locked in to be the starter in Indianapolis. And that will be, that will put him basically, so right now I've got the top four picks in the draft. I sort of have his question marks. I'm guessing, right, Matt Ryan's in there. I would take the over probably on, I'd take the over on a half for sure. I'd probably take the over on 1.5. That those guys remain the starters, so that'd be Darnold, Watson, or Matt Ryan. So I'd take probably the over on that. I have a sneaky suspicion about Darnold. So, and then I think maybe Ryan, and I don't know if you give. I think Ryan's pretty good for a lock, and then you got Darnold and Watson. You know, maybe at a half or something like that, and that's sort of where I get that number. Then you get Burrow. For Cincy, I'm not putting Jalen Hurts in the 2021 starter projection yet, and I'm just working my way down the list here. So I'm not putting him there because they're just way too high and way too close to the quarterback zone, right? If it's that top four, maybe even top five, depending, depending on what you like and what you're looking for. So I think that they're certainly in that zone. And we've seen, you know, it is, they are a, hey, we're going to just keep addressing quarterback type of team. And, you know, that is, I guess we could debate the success of that, but it has given them options. And I think having options and having a lot of outs at that position, something that never hurts. So, and they've shown to need it. So, again, I'm not sure they're going to settle with Hurts. We'll see. He was not good in terms of some of the efficiency stuff last year. I know it was better. You know, it probably looked better than it actually probably was. In terms of fantasy, it was better. But in terms of the actual passing stuff, pretty questionable. So Detroit has Goff. They're locked in. And then there's a whole stretch of teams that we're not sure on. That's Carolina, Denver, Dallas, the Giants, and San Francisco. And that is picks 8 through 12. Pick 13, the Chargers, they got their dude with Herbert. I'm not putting Cousins in the firm commit yet because San Francisco's looming, so who knows there exactly what's going to happen. The Patriots are sort of up in the air. Kyler Murray's locked in at 16. And then there's another stretch here, 17 through 20, we don't know. That's Vegas, Miami, Washington and Chicago. Be interested to see what Washington can sort of put together in terms of getting a guy, whether that maybe is Carr. You know, it's probably not going to be Cousins. but, I mean, Dak is probably not gettable for them, I wouldn't imagine. I doubt Watson is, you know, because 19, a first, and maybe one of those D linemen is a way to get you close. I'm not sure. So we'll see there. And then Trubisky at 20, you know, the contract situation, we'll see. So 21 locked in with Wentz, and that's Indy, obviously. Tennessee's got Tannehill, Seattle with Russell Wilson, although maybe that should be a question mark. I just find that hard to believe that that's actually going to happen. So he's locked in there. You know, maybe if smoke keeps billowing, I'll back off of that, but I don't think that's actually going anywhere. You got Pittsburgh with the big question marks about Roethlisberger. There's comments this week saying, hey, he's our quarterback for now, right? That's never a good sign. So we'll see there. That's a pretty tough cap situation for them. I would say Mason Rudolph maybe is like a speculative ad. I don't think he's that good, but he can do worse than a warm body at quarterback in Superflex. Matt Stafford, good with the Rams. Cleveland is a question mark on Mayfield. I think he's back, but you know, there was some question earlier on. He should probably be in the back column. Let me give it a week just to see if there's any more lingering noise. But assuming there's not, I think all quiet on that front's probably good for Mayfield. Lamar Jackson's in there at Baltimore. Question for Nolans with Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill. We'll see how all that adds up. Aaron Rodgers, again, the question marks with Green Bay. I doubt he's going anywhere, but we'll see. You know, it's crazier things have happened, and there's a lot of movement going on. You know, and maybe people get addicted to it. I'm not sure. I'm holding firm on Jordan Love where I have him. Josh Allen, yep, back with Buffalo. Brady has committed to coming back to Tampa. KC, you know, assuming he doesn't fall into Tampa Bay and kill himself in a drunken celebratory stupor, and Patrick Mahomes back with Kansas City. So there you go. You got I got 12 guys locked in right now. So Burrow, Goff, Herbert, Murray, Wentz, Tannehill, Wilson, Stafford, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes. So we were told be careful for 18. We're up to 3. And I still have some guys out there with some questions. So, yeah, so lots here to look for. So we do have the retirement filled. And, you know, we'll see with Breeze and stuff what that whole situation entails. And, you know, that's probably the next shoe to drop. And then, you know, we'll see with Watson, right? Watson's a big one. You know, and Darnold, you know, what's the movement there? Is Gardner Minshew available, right? I mean, I'm not sure if anyone would be interested, but it does have some experience and, you know, could maybe use provide a hand to someone that just can't quite get to the some of the higher-end guys that are available that have a need. I don't know, Chicago, thinking that. Washington, right, if they could use some help there. You know, those sorts of options. I think that could be a potential move as well. New Orleans, you know, if Winston were to walk, is that something that they could do? So, yeah, I do think there's plenty more things to potentially shoes to drop, if you will, and we'll be looking for it all. All right, now let's break down some of the Carson Wentz Indianapolis stuff here with Carson Wentz and Jalen Hurts. So just taking a look here at Wentz as a threshold issue, I went back to 2016 when he came into the NFL and just sorted for guys that were played over 1,000 plays, right? And there's a really good site, rbsdm.com. They have the EPA and CPOE, which is EPA's expected points added. And that's measured on a per-play basis, and there's some adjustments there. They also measure success rate and expected completion percentage and performance over expectation, right? So what your completion percentage is, completion percentage without any context is probably the worst stat in all of football. It is the batting average of baseball, right? 100% completion percentage tells you nothing, right? A 30% completion percentage tells you very little. If your completion percentage is on shovel passes and they're going for -1 yards, that completion percentage is not helpful at all, right? If you're completing 30% of your passes, but they are for 90 yards a pop, right? That is an enormous statistical season. So I mean, it is just it's that, right? I mean, a lot of that is the context matters, right? So if you see people, you know, aggregate numbers and you know completion percentage, and someone was citing, hey, here are these great numbers for Wentz, you know, that's fine, let's evaluate them, but you need to sort of see what they're worth, right? The yards that someone does on a per attempt basis is a lot more important than their aggregate yards, right? If someone throws for 4,000 yards on 700 attempts, that's vastly different than throwing for 4,000 yards on 500 attempts, right? And I think that those things are self-evident. We sort of know those things as being sort of mindful for that stuff. So you can combine the two, and they have what's known as the EPA plus CPOE composite, right? And that's basically the combination of the two there. So in terms of guys that have 1,000 plays since 2016, which is when Carson Wentz and Jared Goff came into the league. They rank Wentz ranks 26th in terms of EPA plus CPOE, and Goff ranks 27th. So that is out of 41 qualifiers. If you look down at the bottom, some non-surprising names. Brock Osweiler is the worst. Sam Darnold's the second worst, so that's alarming. Jacoby Brissett down there third. Eli is 38th out of 41 qualifiers. Daniel Jones, 37th. Blake Bortles, Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian, Cam Newton, Mitchell Trubisky, Case Keenum, and Tyrod Taylor. Those are basically the bottom 12 or so there. Andy Dalton, Carson Palmer. Those are the guys that rank below Wentz and Goff. I think a couple other notable names just to add in here. Kyler Murray is 24th. Marcus Mariota, who's probably in the trade market here, he is 21st. Stafford's 19th. I'm just looking at some guys here. Derek Carr is actually 17th. Winston's 15th, which is interesting. Dak Prescott's 14th, which is probably lower than some would expect. Kirk Cousins is 13th, which is probably higher than some expect. Jimmy Garoppolo is actually 7th, which is pretty notable. I actually think that there's a metric case for him. I kind of wonder if it's almost not the same Goff thing, where Shanahan just doesn't trust him, but maybe he's better than better than people expect. So that's just a thought there. Matt Ryan's 5th, which is notable. The top four guys, no real surprises here. Mahomes 1, Breeze 2, Rodgers 3, Brady 4. So Watson's 5. And then, yeah, I think the two surprises in maybe the top 8 there. Wilson's at 8, but Ryan at 5 and Garoppolo at 7. So that's over the past 5 years. You know, if we go back and look just the past 3 years here and just get a little bit of an update with, you know, some of the more recent stuff, just to get, you know, more of an idea on some of the recent stuff, that's kind of where Wentz looks a lot worse. You know, I just did 500 just because you have some of the lesser guys here, you know, are sort of haven't played quite as much. So when you look, it is Wentz is 33rd, and that is out of 45 qualifiers. That's just over 500 plays, you know, and that, so that includes some guys like Rosen's in there, Haskins, right? Some of those other guys that have played some less snaps. So he's just right there with Minshew, to give you an idea, just ahead of Brissett. You know, I just ahead of Dalton. And so this Drew Locke's at 40th out of 45. So again, you're sort of looking down at the bottom by way of reference. Goff is at 24. So he is, you know, about 0.2 or so above, or excuse me, 0.02 above Wentz. So that's a pretty big difference in terms of the metric there. And then when you look at, you know, you go and you look at Stafford, for example, Stafford is at 22nd. So again, he's just ahead of, he's ahead of Goff by two spots right there, ahead of Mayfield, who's just ahead of Goff. So just an idea on some of the moving pieces in terms of the actual NFL value. So I think those are interesting just as contextual things. All right, so more specific to the Carson Wentz, Jalen Hurts situation here. I'll say this about Carson Wentz, and I've been critical. And I'll, the reason why I'm critical is, you know, I try to be fair, and you know, it is. I heard Ryan Russillo talking to, I think it was Charles Barkley recently, and you know, they said when you're thinking about if you're going to say something about somebody, the question is it true? And I think it's true, and I have no problem being critical. And I'm not trying to be unfair, but I'm trying to be honest and helpful, right? And I don't want people going sort of down the wrong road here. Carson Wentz has his average yards per attempt in his career is 6.7. To give you an idea, he's replacing someone, Philip Rivers, whose average yards per attempt in his career 7.8. Now you might say, Jordan, Philip Rivers was way at the end of his career when he was with the Colts, and yeah, he was much less than what he was earlier in his career. That may or may not be true. So when you go and look last year, 7.7 yards per attempt was his number. And he was actually down in interception ratio. He's about just a little under career average in terms of touchdown rate. Some of the ancillary stuff, adjusted yards per attempt, exactly on his career average. The yards per attempt was just below, was a tenth below his career average. But basically in line with what he did the prior year. He just threw the ball 50 or so less times. So it's not, you know, he took almost half as many sacks. So again, there's probably some wisdom there in how they used him. So if you're sort of looking for positive things for Carson Wentz, you can sort of see some of that stuff. Again, the touchdown rate's fluky, but the yards per attempt preserved with less sacks. So you could say, okay, well, that's certainly a positive, whether that's game plan, whether that's scheme, whether that's, you know, getting the ball out quickly, all of those things. When you look, his quarterback rating up about 9 points, actually 8.5 points in terms of his quarterback rating. QBR up 12 points from 2019 to 2020, and that's all with Philip Rivers. So, again, there might be some boost there, and how you calculate some of those things might matter too, right? How much you succeeding, those success rates, all those things, they have different measurements there. So I would say it was a boost for Rivers, and Rivers was very good, right? So well above average in QBR, and, you know, above average in yards per attempt. So all those things, it was pretty good season for Philip Rivers. Again, on his career, 7.8 yards per attempt. Carson Wentz's best season in terms of yards per attempt, 7.7 yards per attempt. So that is below Philip Rivers' career average. And that's, you know, even if you were to take the last, right, the 2014 through 2020 iterations of Philip Rivers, kind of on the, you know, on the more decline side, there was a 12-win season in there, but there was a lot of 4-5 wins, you know, 9 wins, right? That's he basically had the one uptick year in 2018, and besides that, they were, you know, below 500 team. So in that iteration of Philip Rivers, he was still at 7.7 yards per attempt. So that really didn't change in terms of, that's basically essentially who he has been throughout his entire career, is that, right? First half and second half. So that really hasn't changed. And so it's basically Carson Wentz's career best is below Philip Rivers's career average. So when you talk about potentially moving a situation, moving all those things, I mean, I guess you could look to that 2017, 2018 season, right? That's kind of the, that is the Frank Wright offense, right? So that could be your positive, optimistic side of this. My caution would be the ceiling is not super high on that, right? So you sort of have this, it's been very much a drop since then, right? Down since 2018, it was a 1.7 yards per attempt drop in terms of valuation. So I am skeptical of his profile. A clean reset may be helpful, and that's not unique to football, right? That is a, hey, you know, my work environment sucks, I go someplace else, and whether maybe that's even with an old boss, right, that was a good boss, but went someplace else, you know, I sort of latch on with them and can sort of re-up my career. I sort of am open to that idea from personal experience. I could say, you know, a change of scenery can be good. You know, the question is what's his skill set, right? Is he the, you know, there's 3 seasons of him that are below 7 yards per attempt, and there's 2 seasons that are above 7 yards per attempt. When he was sort of that guy, right, the really high upside guy early in his career in year 2, I mean, that was 2017, right? It's going to be 2021. So, yeah, I mean, this is a while ago in terms of what we're trying to reset the clock. Still only 29 years old, but again, this is sort of the reason why I have questions. Now, you turn the page over and you sort of look and say, all right, well, what's the value? What do we, you know, where are we at with him in terms of thinking about what his value might be? Well, if I'm sort of looking at this, I am sort of in the later in the teens type of range for him, I think probably at best at this point. That is certainly kind of the threshold starter for him. I don't think there's much, you know, when you sort of look, you get into the, you know, you got, you know, Burrow and Dak are like 8 and 9. So Wilson's right around there at 9 or 10. Rodgers as well. These are some of the initial real draft position. When you look at Hurts, he's at 11 in terms of his real draft position. That's again, there's some limited sample. We want to sort of clean the data up before we go fully public with all this, just because we need to clean the data up. But yeah, he's at 11. Stafford's at 12, right? So that's sort of where you're looking. I think that's too rich for Hurts. We'll get there in a second. But then when you sort of get down to Wentz, Tannehill's 13, Baker's 14, Brady's 15, actually. Again, careful on some of the sample size stuff here. Tua, 16, Kirk Cousins, 17, Carson Wentz, 18. So when you sort of say, okay, again, the sample size thing, that's the caveat sort of. I'm just sort of using this as an approximation. When you sort of look at the guys behind him on this, I think Wentz is actually below this number right now. So just keep that in mind. You sort of look late, you know, mid to late teens. There's other data to suggest that he's much lower than that. So just be careful. Ryan is below him. I'd take Ryan over him. Daniel Jones is below him. I mean, I think they're kind of similar bets, honestly. I think we know more with Wentz, so I'd take Wentz. Carr's below him. I mean, I'd probably take Carr, even though I question some of Carr's upside. Darnold's below him. I wouldn't take Darnold above Wentz. Goff's below him. I'd take Goff ahead of Wentz. Jameis Winston's an interesting one. Because we don't know if he's a starter. But I think if he's a starter, I think he has just difference making upside. So that's an interesting bet. I'm not sure you're necessarily gonna have to choose between the two, but I think it's an interesting bet. If you honestly stack the two of them together, I think it's an interesting. That's probably an investment strategy that I would look towards, honestly, because they might insulate some of each other. Again, they're not necessarily correlated, but I think you're making similar type bets with similar type probabilities, and then heck, you might, you know, you can have a pretty good shot at one of those guys at a relatively cheap range if you sort of work on them together. And then after them, you know, it's tough to say anyone you'd really put above him afterwards. I mean, Bridgewater's down there. No, Garoppolo. Again, I could see Garoppolo in maybe a different setting. It's interesting to say that going away from Shanahan, but they kind of just limit him. I don't know. I sort of can go both ways on Garoppolo. And just the fact that Shanahan doesn't trust him sort of speaks to me a little bit, but the metrics have been actually not horrible. So they've actually been pretty good. So when you sort of look at the two of them, you're like, what's the deal? Maybe there's something more there that we don't know. So Taysom Hill's down there. Again, that's a different type of bet, I think. Mariota's down there. I think there's a reasonable chance that he sees an uptick here in the next, I don't know, 6 weeks or so. We'll just use that as a, you know, it's sort of the early free agency, you know, this trading period. It's probably going to happen before that, I would imagine, if it's a trade. But yeah, he's in there as well. I mean, Drew Locke's down there. No, I'm not taking Drew Locke ahead of Wentz. So yeah, you sort of get in that, and then you're going to sort of add 3, 4, 5 rookies. So, I mean, you're looking at him in like kind of the early to mid-20s at this point. It's not an unreasonable bet, right? It's not. And you sort of say, all right, well, what's the downside of that? Well, he maybe loses his job and isn't a starter in 12 to 18 months. Okay, well, what's the upside? Maybe the upside's like something in the low QB1s. You know, what's the range on that happening? I don't know. I'd probably not put it all that high, but when you sort of look for payoffs, that's kind of an asymmetric upside bet. You're not really taking a huge swing. If that's a quarterback 3 or quarterback 4 situation, that's great. You know, it's sort of the bet you want to take there. So, and maybe the situation was bad. I could go for that, right? You could convince me of that. You know, your quarterback your coach got fired, right? There was all this turnover, right? It kind of looks like that the GM, you know, has made some pretty poor decisions, you know, just from a 30,000 foot view. We could sort of debate that, but you know, there's reasons to think that, hey, maybe it was just dysfunctional and he needs a clean reset. I think there's reasons to think that maybe it's a him problem too. But you know, if you're sort of trying to take the optimistic view and trying to capture some upside, you could paint me that story and you could tell me that story. And I don't think it's necessarily an unreasonable bet. I think it's a lower probability bet than some of the other explanations, but I sort of see it. So again, if you sort of said, hey, you know, early 20s, you know, we're looking, I don't know, we're looking 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th round, something like that, right? I can sort of see the wisdom in that depending on who's sort of in that range. The problem is there's probably going to be target players in that range that you're going to want to be on. So that would sort of be the caution. He's going 6th round here. I mean, when you sort of go 6th round with some of this ADP, I think it's actually later than that. So once we get this fully adjusted, I'm guessing it's going to be later than that. You know, that might be more palatable if it's going to be like 8th, 9th round, something like that. But, you know, in the 6th round, you're probably passing on guys like Mike Evans, Amari Cooper to take Wentz. I just have a hard time doing that. So, yeah. So relative to the position, it's not horrible, but sort of when you compare it to the other positions, that's the problem. Okay, so now we're going to take a look at Jalen Hurts. And I'll say with Jalen Hurts, I have questions about, you know, when you look at some of the ancillary stuff, right? So you basically have a couple of things here. You've got a high upside in terms of the rushing's pretty good. You know, he can be a Josh Allen's not the right comp, but that sort of profile, right, where he could be a guy that rushes for 40, 50 yards and a half a touchdown a game, and right there you're at 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 rushing points a week, and you're saying, okay, all right, now, you know, he throws for 20, 22 touchdowns, and, you know, he averages 260 yards, 250 yards through the air, and all of a sudden you're like, okay, like that could approach the fringes of quarterback one type scenario. So I could be pitched on that idea. I'm not going to pay that cost. That's the problem. You have a risk. You certainly have a risk of them going and drafting someone. They're right in the zone, right? So that's the zone for them to draft a quarterback. They're in the top six. And that's shouting distance, right? There's talk that 4 in a row might go. But again, there's, even if that's true, right? Even if 4 in a row do go, I would bet the under on that. I would take the under of 3.5 over the first four picks being quarterbacks. But yeah, I could see that being close, right? I could certainly see 3. And when you sort of look at that, you say, okay, where do they fit in that? They're not inside that number. I think one of those teams is going to trade out of there, right? I think it's probably not Jacksonville, right? They're probably going Lawrence. But, you know, the Jets, or, you know, we talked about, you know, what would we take in terms of the odds that those guys are starters to begin the season. I think you have a reasonable chance that it's, you know, more than one of them, right? So whether that's Ryan, you know, whether Atlanta passes on a quarterback, whether Houston can patch things up with Watson, even though they actually don't have that pick. That pick is actually Miami, right? So Miami, you know, what they do with Tua, right? I think I said that was the Houston pick earlier. It's actually Miami's pick. I just put Houston in the third order because that's where their natural slot would be. Right. So what Miami does with Tua is a thing, right? I doubt that it's that they're going to draft somebody, right? So maybe that's that they trade out, right? I think, or that they trade the pick for somebody. And, you know, I doubt Miami's going to take a quarterback with that pick, but we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, so then, you know, you have Cincinnati at 5, right? That's a trade down opportunity. That could be Carolina, right? That could be Denver even. You know, so these teams up here, it's a really decision time on what they want to do. So, but again, Philly is certainly a contender there at 6 to go up into the top four, top five to try and get a guy. And they've shown a willingness to do that.
That is a risk that you will have to understand, and that's a risk that you'll have to price in. So let's look at some of these trades and sort of see what the what some of the going rates might be here for Jalen Hurts. I think you have to understand that a lot of this was probably baked into his cost, that Carson Wentz is on the move, especially with the more recent ones. So we may see an uptick. We may see a little bit more trading volume. But just keep in mind that his price probably is not going to go that much higher, because I think it was probably baked in. So Jalen Hurts, Deebo Samuel, and 105 for Josh Allen. And Tyler Johnson, Preston Williams as throw-ins. Give me Josh Allen. Jalen Hurts, T. Higgins, 112 for Saquon Barkley. Give me Barkley. Hurts for Daniel Jones and 111. Oh, man, that's interesting, right? Because I think they're kind of similar bets. Hurts is probably higher upside, but has less commitment, I think. I think Daniel Jones is probably safe, but again, that could be a year-long thing. That 111 could potentially be the fifth quarterback in this draft. I mean, I would kind of have a little bit more context to that. I don't think it's outright unreasonable on either side. I'd probably want a little bit more context to that. You're going to see these a lot, though. I think the naked, what I'll call the naked ones, are ones that maybe I would take Hurts on. I could see doing Hurts for 112 and Superflex. That's multiple times. I can see the wisdom in that, right? And even if, like, I could do that right now and then use him, you know, flip him over again, I could see doing that, right? So that's something that is interesting. I think there's probably upside on that. If that's a quarterback, it's probably quarterback six, right? I think probably the first five guys, or maybe it's quarterback five. But we'll see. That could potentially go up in value, could go down in value. But I think, you know, coming from there, and especially if that's like the 112 team, right, the championship team, that does have the ability to really, really help. So that is an upside play for sure. Hurts and Gibson for Kamara and Devin Asiasi. That's in two tight ends. So that's a notable feature there, although not really moving the needle all that much. I'd probably take the Kamara side there. Hurts for James Robinson. That's a two quarterback, 10-teamer. I think I covered that one on the James Robinson show. Hurts for Darnold straight up. I mean, just give me Hurts probably at this point. It would probably be the thing that I would say. I think Darnold's pretty low upside at this point. And Hurts for 112 again. So again, I think that's a context. The context is probably interesting on that one. You know, if I had 112 at an earlier pick and could potentially pivot, right? Does is Hurts help me pivot more? Does 112 help me pivot more? Kind of probably want to know some of the situations that I'm dealing with, right? But he's certainly beating that in terms of startup cost right now, right? He's going more expensive than that pick. So if that tells you anything there, so that would sort of be my thoughts. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And again, I think most of these, I want to do that Hurts and Deebo and 105 for Josh Allen, right? That's how I want to sort of extract him, right? If I'm going to sort of trade, use him to go get the premium difference-making longevity play. I think that's how you do the package. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Kind of a elongated one. Lots to cover here, lots of moving pieces. I'll update the quarterback matrix, and it'll be on the site so you can see that. Until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.